When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 698 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by the dynamic duo of James Dean Rader, Ben Funky Askren, two of the best wrestling coaches I know. And it's going to be a fun one today because in like 30 minutes, calling in from Moscow, Russia, King G is coming in to talk about this Russian squad. The team is set for Russia. There's a little bit of a couple storylines out of that. We're gonna take them out. We're gonna swoop in, take them out. But I want to start the show with this. This is a tweet that was sent I guess 2 days ago, September 20th. Yesterday I saw it again and I started to really think. I was like, wait a second. BJ Futrell tweeted. I was today years old when I found out at All I See Is Gold, Jordan Burroughs is really, really strong and really, really good at wrestling. And Jordan replied, appreciate it, bro. Same time tomorrow. Laughing emoji. So, and then I forgot, this is a man who was hopping off the mat, getting off the grid.
It was a cramp.
It was not a cramp. I don't think it was a cramp. I have no inside information, no medical information whatsoever. I don't think it was a cramp.
I don't know what it was, but I think we're reading too much into this. Sometimes I just tweet wild stuff just for the heck of tweeting it to see what people will say.
Okay, well, like, that,
there's
okay.
No real purpose.
That's what we're talking about here.
I think that's what they're doing.
Okay, so do you think this is real? Do you think they really wrestled? They're really doing wrestling? Jordan Burroughs is full go, yes. No problem, doing full-on wrestling practices.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance he's actually injured, but we are. It's not like we're 2 months out right now. We're 2 weeks out. So if he's actually not working out and wrestling, then we're probably going to have some issues at Worlds.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that he'd missed a significant amount of time prior. But we don't know how healthy he is. It could be a smokescreen for all we know. You know, it's like, oh, let's put out a little.
You think he's all the way out, not doing anything on the mat?
Not all the way out. I don't know. It's a curious thing because we're not going to hear the health status, but I thought it's either great. It's probably just great news, right? It's probably just great news that he's healthy, but I mean,
you guys never asked him how hurt are you afterwards?
Yeah, we did. He didn't know. He hadn't like seen a doctor or anything at that point in time.
He was concerned.
He was extremely concerned.
You never followed up with him? Like, don't you even care about him?
No, I think Mike talked to him the next day, but he's like, he's not going to tell the media his injury situation. He's not going to tell us, yeah, it's broken, or yeah, I have a real calf. Why would he?
Yeah.
We would keep it a secret.
Maybe you tell us, you probably would have told me on the down low. So I think he's healthy. We're going to go with healthy.
I think he's healthy too. I hope he's healthy. I think he's healthy enough. I think that's the main thing. He's probably healthy enough. I think he'd be, I feel good that he's going to wrestle and do well. But I did think it's interesting. It's either great news or maybe a little bit of propaganda, which I think would be funny, actually, if they're like, let's act like we're wrestling.
Yeah, I bet he's on the mat. But, I guess you never know with him.
Yeah. So, exciting stuff there. We should be, everyone else is seemingly fully healthy heading into this. Gilman, I guess, has had no setbacks whatsoever with his Liz Franck injury. So that's really exciting. Nice. So good stuff there. Penn State's full schedule is out. We can talk about that a little bit. It's sort of a different look schedule for them. No tournaments at all. Which you know,
well, they've always been on the short side of matches, or the lower side of matches,
definitely. But they always did, other than like I think last year, they always had like one tournament in there on the schedule. But that's not to say they couldn't send their whole team to an open, of which there are so many within driving distance of State College, PA. But the main highlights for this, for them, the big duels, Michigan, January 21st, Iowa, January 28th, and then the very next week, Ohio State, and that's a BJC duel.
Well, aren't there some good teams at this college wrestling duels? I can't remember who I saw. I saw someone post about it. I think maybe like Oklahoma State's there in Missouri or something.
I don't think Oklahoma State's
Missouri's the number one team in the country, so maybe they are. And I think maybe I saw NC. Maybe it's NC State.
That could be. That could be. Yeah. I don't know how that is. That going to be like a bracket?
I have no idea whatsoever. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
know. Get Frank Papa on the show. Ask him.
Okay.
Fill him up.
Maybe we'll do that. I don't know who they'll – I think Cornell's going to that. At least they were. So that would be cool.
Man, this is not very many matches. I mean, this is about 12 matches. If you have some at the, let's say, four college wrestling duels, that's 16 matches. Four at the Big Ten, that's 20 matches. Five at Nationals, that's 25 matches. I mean, that's – they've usually been around 30, which is kind of on the lower end of most schedules. That's even lower. So I wouldn't be shocked if they find an open somewhere here or there.
Yes, yes. I think they would. Well, think about the Beard-Dean situation. How are they going to get how are they going to be figuring out that situation other than, like, they'll have to send them to some opens, I suppose, or something.
Because
that's typically – although they are a team that will have, like, the ranking matches, like, internally and to inform their decision. But a lot of times it will come down to, like, who goes to the scuffle, who goes to this tournament and performs best. And so that's my biggest question is, like, how are they
– I got a list for you, Christian. Penn State is not on this list, but this is a list that says Iowa, Arizona State, Michigan, NC State, Missouri, Virginia Tech, Northern Iowa, Central Michigan, Cornell, Hofstra, Lehigh, Oregon State. That's what it says. I don't know. True, false, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that would be – but they're not going to do – so that won't be a bracket. They're not going to wrestle each other. They're not going to wrestle Iowa, are they? No way.
I don't know. That would be great if they did. I'd be excited.
I'll watch Iowa twice in a year.
I miss the old school national duels when the best teams actually went there. That was I know a lot of people complained about it. I competed in it, I want to say, every single year. Maybe there was one year we didn't. But I always really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great tournament. And I was kind of sad that it went away. And I don't know why everyone crapped on it so much.
I think the rigor of it and when it took place in the season was like, this is too hard. This is too much.
Man, I went through it. These dudes are being wimpy.
You just pinned them all, man. Not everyone. Most guys have.
I don't know why. I mean, listen, I know. I understand that I'm an outlier. I wrestled, let's see, I think it was like 30, let's see, and probably an average of 40 matches a year. Yeah, because I had 158 matches, so that's roughly 40 a year, maybe slightly less. I never understood. Like, I loved it. I want to get more matches. I mean, my last 2 years, I said, Coach Smith, I need to win the Hodge. I'm going to pin these dudes at the CMSU Open. And if he would have, like, I had to fight him over it. I really had to, like, argue with him. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah, I'm going. No, you're not. And yeah, and we had an argument about it. And eventually I said, listen, dude, I'm going to get in my Prius or Camry or whatever at the time. I'm driving my ass down to Warrensburg, and I'm going to wrestle in that damn tournament. And if he wouldn't have put up such a fight, I probably would have went to another open or two. I loved competing. I loved it. I really would have went to another couple if you let me.
Yes, I think that's I think your college wrestling experience is very much an outlier for – not that they don't all love it, but it's just the difficulty of wrestling that many tough matches late in the season is like a risk they're not willing to take.
Well, it wasn't really late. It was usually generally right before the Big Ten schedule started, which I get why the Big Ten guys don't like it. But, I guess I'm just sad. I enjoyed the tournament. I always loved it. Shad doesn't exist anymore.
I think – there should be national duels, and it should decide the team champion.
Ooh, I would love that. I really I know would. I don't see why we can't have two national titles.
And well, no, I don't think there should be two national titles. I don't think there should be a
why
team
not?
Component.
Well, the best team is
because then nobody would care about the dual tournament.
We're gonna do this morning. Oh, this is what we're doing this morning.
Listen,
let's go, JD. Let's go, baby.
The best team wins the tournament.
Yes.
Not the duel.
No, that's
But that's
bullcrap.
What makes the duel tournament.
No, you're wrong.
Best.
You're wrong,
no,
Christian.
I'm absolutely right.
That's no, you're absolutely
it's
wrong.
Indisputable.
I only need
that's
four
the point
people.
Of it.
I could forfeit six weight classes and win a team title. That doesn't make the best team. I could forfeit six weight classes, which literally means I will not win a duel. It is not possible for me to win
Listen,
one duel meet.
Depends on how you define the
so
best.
That's what I'm saying. So that's Christian's opinion on what the best is, but that doesn't mean Christian is God. He doesn't just define what the best tournament
wow,
is.
So anytime
we can all have our opinion.
I love the idea that an opinion is like, well, he thinks this way. He must think he's God. It's like, no, I just think, no. It, I mean, it's, but I will say it is indisputable that the best team is the team that wins the tournament, not the duel.
No.
The, oh, well, yeah.
No, because.
Why? But see, now you're trying to act like God again. You literally said indisputable.
You can't dispute it to me because, listen, the best test of team strength is your wrestler against all the other wrestlers. Instead of your wrestler versus one other wrestler.
Correct.
So this is
but
your wrestler versus all the wrestlers in 10 weights. That's how you determine
yes.
it.
Yes. But it's really easy. I mean, I can make a very simple argument as to why the point structure of the national tournament is skewed. And as I pointed out, in very certain years, you could have had four national champions, forfeited the other six weight classes, and won the national title. I mean, for example,
no.
I coach. Yes.
I mean, that's not true. That's very, yeah, I, you can't
that
use
is
this
true.
Arizona
it
State.
Is true.
Arizona State didn't win, and they didn't get close to winning. They got a trophy,
okay.
Total outlier performance, and it
we
has
were, no, we
nothing like that has
six.
Ever. You're using an
but
outlier.
But we weren't the sixth best team. We were 3-12 in duels. We weren't the sixth best team, Christian.
Yeah, but you didn't win.
Here's
what
I'm
you
saying.
Were, you
the
didn't
point
even
system. The point system is skewed to overrepresent one or two good wrestlers, as opposed to a team who has 8 to 10 good wrestlers. If you want to say what is the best team for me, a representation of the best team is somewhere where they have really good guys each weight class. Now, I'm not asking you to give equal points for someone who's number 26 as I am to number 6. I realize those aren't the same, but the national tournament, and it was, I love the national tournament. I think it crowns for what it crowns. I get it. And the coaches coach to what is scored. They all understand it. It's fair. I got
yeah,
it,
winning
right?
is better than not
Hold
winning.
Hold on. Hold on. But if we want to really
Savvy
say what is a representation of a good team, it will be someone who has a good wrestler at almost every weight class. So here's the simple way. If you wanted to do it in the team tournament structure, you just award more points for simple wins. And you're gonna and those guys because those guys who win one or two or three matches. If you win three matches at the national tournament, you're a top 16 guy, whether on the front side or back side. Well, you mm-hmm. if you win three in a row on the front side, you're obviously in the quarters, so you're top 12. I'm sorry, in semis, so you're top 6. But if you win three matches, you're a top 16 wrestler. If you're a top 16 wrestler, you're a very, very good wrestler. And so if one team has four wrestlers who are national champions and six forfeits, I would argue to you they have four very good athletes on their roster. They do not have a team. They only have four wrestlers, not a team, not a great team. Four good guys, not a team, Christian. They can win a national title. Not the best team.
Based on what can they win a national title? That has literally never happened.
It has never happened, but it could. I mean, so just look at the points. 60
no,
points for
no.
first.
You can
listen,
you,
it's simple. I'll do the math for you. I will do the math for you. 100 points can win the national title. It has very many times. 96, in fact, Iowa won with 96 in 2008. 16 for a win. 5 points for advancement, and we'll throw two bonus in there. They each get two pins. That's 25 points for an athlete. Times by four, that's 100. I'm doing math like I am for Aussie Man all the time. That's a national title. Four guys, forfeiting six weights. You only have four guys on your roster.
One, that would never happen. Two,
okay,
you have a clown nose in your hand. Why do you have a clown nose?
I don't know. It's just sitting on my desk, and then I'm squeezing it and bouncing it and whatnot.
All right.
Stressed.
Okay, you're stressed out because you're
I'm getting fired up.
Yeah, I just – You create your examples
JD started
are,
this.
Are
JD
two
started.
Absolute outlier things that one has never happened. Actually, both have never happened because Arizona State got sixth. They didn't win.
Correct. And it was an overrepresentation of how good we were that year. That's what
and
I'm trying to tell you.
Probably being 3-12 as a dual team is an underrepresentation of how good you were as a team. It's probably
well,
somewhere in the middle.
Your definition of team, which is why I told JD, I am very happy crowning two national champions.
No, there needs to be one national champion, and as long as there is an individual champion of the individual,
like indoor outdoor.
I don't. Yeah, dude, they are both looked at equally.
No, most likely.
No.
How do you know that, Christian?
Because outdoor.
You don't know nothing.
I'm pretty sure it's outdoor. Someone was in the chat saying...
Jiu-Jitsu's got gi and no gi.
They're different sports.
And they're very different. Whatever. And no gi is more prestigious.
Same thing. Try to choke someone out, break their arm. No big deal.
But as long as there is a team title attached to the individual tournament, the dual tournament, it just won't be looked at.
That's your opinion. If the NCAA sanctioned it, it would be looked at very highly.
It would be looked at very highly. But guess who's going to be in the final? Iowa and Penn State. Look at these teams. It's not going to change anything.
Well, there's definitely years where it would change things. I mean, there are years where the person who wins the NCAA team title is not the best dual team. That has happened many times. Obviously, lots of times, yes, they do coincide. Because to our point of what we're talking about, these things are not far off. It's not like they're total opposites. They're very much the same. I'm just saying that there's a couple areas which are underrepresented, which is essentially athletes who are 9 through 16 are the ones that are vastly underrepresented, because you could win two matches at NCAAs by decision, which puts you in the quarterfinals, which means you're a really, really damn good wrestler. And then you lose in the quarters and you lose in the blood round, and you've scored 2 points for your team. And so by the same measure, someone could lose their first match and pin the 32nd best guy and they have 2.5 points. So you can't tell me that is a proper scoring metric for what the wrestler represents to their team.
And I agree partially. That's why I like a dual title. The way I also like it is you wrestle the national tournament 100 times with the same teams. The champion's going to come out on top almost every time. It is more likely that a different team wins in a dual style format. That's where, like, one team gets hot for some reason or matches up better against a certain team. So that's why I like it. Plus the fact that I think it is more entertaining. How often does it come down to the finals Saturday night where it's like this match decides the champion? Pretty rare.
Yeah.
But think about how awesome one duel is, where it's team versus team. Mm-hmm. You know it's going to be close. That's like a national championship basketball or football game.
Yeah.
It is a much better product for viewers that way, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with that. And as long as everyone – Ben, you're one of the few people who is for the dual championship but also thinks it actually crowns the best team. Like most of the advocates for the dual championship are like, it's cool because you get totally random results, because you get results that are not representative of who the best team is. That's like the entire point for most of the dual
I actually didn't make that argument if you listen closely. Okay. What I did make the argument of is that I don't think the scoring at the national tournament is correctly representative of what a great team is.
And I would say
it overrepresents those first couple places, and not there's like that 9 through 16 range. Even you could even argue probably 7 through 16 and they are not accurately represented. But yes, you would I mean, lots of years, probably 60 to 80% of years you would get the same winner, I would argue. And it is a different type of strength. You need to be able to fill all the weight classes, and it would also be fun.
And one of your points was that, okay, a really good wrestler doesn't score points, very many points. You can make the quarters and score 2 points, and that's not representative of how good they are. Well, that happens all the time in dual meets where the number three guy loses to the number two guy and scores 0 points. So that you have an identical problem there.
Plus gives up three.
So the same issue is presented. But bottom line, it would be cool to have it, but you probably won't, because these coaches can't agree on much.
They can't agree on nothing.
And we'll see who actually wrestles each other at these dual championships, because a lot of people can be.
Yeah, when they just pick the matchups, kind of thumbs down on that, lame.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know what they want to do, that would be cool. That would be acceptable also. And this is a little bit what we did last week. But if you say, I don't want to be in a pool with all Wisconsin teams, was what happened last weekend, right? So, okay, we'll mix the Wisconsin and other teams up. If you said, listen, I don't want to be in a pool with any Big Ten teams, and if we have, say, 4 pools of 4, and then the 4 winners go against the 4 winners in, a bracketed format, like, 1 versus 1, and then they meet up in the finals or whatever, and it so happens that there's 2 Big Ten teams, fine. But if you want to pick the pools so you don't wrestle someone early, that's cool. I like that. I'm good. I'm getting down with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff there. Pretty salty. I mean, I don't think anyone has an easy Big Ten schedule, but Penn State's is definitely tough hitting Iowa, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Michigan.
They're not going to a tournament, but or tournament's not on the schedule, but they'll be tested, at least the starters, the guys wrestling most of the duels. And, it'll be interesting to see, especially at 197, they send help for all their duels.
Yeah. It's going to be that's going to be one of the big storylines to follow is the Max Dean Michael Beard competition there at 197. And, you can't imagine Beard's just going to concede the spot at 197. And obviously, Max Dean transferred for a reason. So,
yes.
We'll see.
Okay. We'll see. I got to wonder what some of these Russian, the way that I was specifically the last tweet, are we going to ask, King G about it, is it the Russia coach Tadiev resented his low salary? That's offensive. If you foreigner coach, they pay $10,000 monthly, and if you give results, they pay $1,800 a month. Is extraordinary. Who makes such decisions? What is it? What is this all about?
I don't know. I don't know who the coach he referenced was. So that's why King G's gonna be very helpful here. But Coach Tadiev, the Bond villain, is unhappy with his compensation.
He also, really? Ivan didn't tweet about it, but I saw it. He also talked about the other former Soviet countries getting paid more to win like Olympic golds and stuff. So he was not happy with that.
The coaches or the athletes?
I saw athletes, not coaches, but I didn't read the entire interview. I just saw snippets. But he could have also talked about coaches. He said, quote unquote, how far have we fallen?
Well, it's sort of curious because we think of Russia as these Russian teams, but these guys are like very much culturally like sort of on, not on the outs, but like they're sort of a different group, and Russia's so big, like I don't know how much, the general Russian populace is thinking about wrestling, and maybe how we kind of think about wrestling here in America. It's not like, while it's one of their biggest, best sports where they're most successful, like how important is it to the nation? Right.
Well, they said explicitly that participation in America is magnitudes higher than it is in Russia.
That's definitely true.
Okay.
I think that's definitely true. So, where you take somewhere like Georgia, which is maybe culturally very similar to a Dagestan, Ossetia sort of region, maybe that. So it's more important to that country as a whole than it is to Russia. So you can see how it would happen. But I could see how Tadiev would be like, look, we're going to lose guys to – they just had some transfers to Romania. They're going to lose a lot of their depth to these other nations. Hey, I can go and start here and make more money. Forget my Russian allegiance. Let me go get paid.
I don't see why not, especially once they get a little bit older.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, why not?
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I can't wait to talk to King G about that entire dynamic with what's going on in Russia. And I can't wait to ask him about this. The wrestle-off matches, plus 3 kilos, Ben.
That's a lot of weight.
I'd say a kilo, that makes sense. And JD was like, hey, do you want him to make weight this close twice? But plus 3 is like, sheesh.
You can get so you think like James, we always bring up James Green's weight, but James Green plus 3 is different than James Green scratch at that weight class.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 3 is that's a really big deal. It seems like a lot. Maybe it's one of those situations where if they were all in camp and they kind of know what size they are. I mean, if the deal is like, if you two are in my camp and I know Christian weighs 122 and JD weighs 123. I'm not really, and the weight class is 110. I'm not really concerned about you guys making 110 because you guys are the same size. You know what I'm saying? Whereas if one guy's 118 and one guy's 126, now I'm like, okay, obviously if we just wrestle as is, the guy that's 126 is going to have a huge advantage because he's going to have a significantly harder cut to get down to the weight. You know what I'm saying there or no?
Yeah, I totally get it. Completely get it.
All these guys have been wrestling at this weight, though. It's not a... None of them were in a situation, at least that one, were in a situation like a James Green where it's, okay, I'm coming down for the first time in 3 years.
Ooh, yeah. We should ask him like how the Russians cut weight if they do it differently than us in any way.
Well, I've always heard they do less. That's kind of like what I've heard all, you know, over the last bunch of years. It's kind of, this team looks weird though, because they have a 16, a 7, a 4, an 8, an unranked at 79, like, mm-hmm. and a 10 heavy. That seems like, I don't, when I look at the lineup, it's like, I think we're going to win here.
I think we're going to win too, but I just am not sleeping. I mean, rankings are processes of results and also opportunity and with a lot of these guys. So we should have Kozak on. Maybe we'll have Kozak on tomorrow to discuss the
live.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be here.
I'm gonna be there.
I gotta get the taco order. Last time you said you wanted a chicken breakfast taco, which, I mean, eggs are from chickens, but I don't know what that means. So we'll have to get a little more clarity. I asked what kind of breakfast taco you want. You said chicken.
You said what kind of tacos do I like? I actually wasn't even thinking breakfast. I like steak and chicken tacos, a little shredded chicken, a little grilled chicken. I don't care. I love chicken tacos. Steak, you can do with steak whatever you want. I love that too.
Steak is good.
You know what the one Bader took me to at you guys' old HQ? I don't know
Primo.
If you still own that building. And it was across the street. It was a little lady in a food
taco
truck.
Taco lady. Taco Guerrero.
I never heard of it, but it's called carne guisada, who is so freaking good.
Guisada.
It was I don't even know what the hell it was. Bader told me to get it. It was delicious. Yeah.
We should go. Yeah, we could always go there after the show. That place is freaking delicious. She's great. Not super fast. Mm-hmm. It's just her and her orange. Yeah. She got an upgraded shed. I don't know the last time you went there. But she had
years.
Okay, it was a dilapidated thing, and now she's got this orange little trailer. It's a step up. She's an angel.
Sometimes I wish I would have, like, in 2008, I just would have moved to Austin and started working for Flo. Because, like, you know, sometimes when you're down there and you walk, you can walk that way, there's tacos. You can walk that way, there's tacos. You can walk that way, there's tacos. Like, you just start walking, and then they're like $1.50 for a breakfast taco. And you're like, oh, this is just great. I have $3. Get two tacos.
It's a main staple of my diet now.
Yeah, well, listen, it's simple. Start a club down here, somewhere in the Round Rock, Pflugerville area, obviously. And then, you know, bring one of your top coaches, and then you got to come once every 2 months to oversee for a week or so. And then it's that simple. When are you going to – you got to expand soon. Otherwise, you know, they're going to start saying, you know what, Askren Wrestling Academy only has like 10 academies. Is he really even growing at this point?
Right.
You know, that's not what I'm saying. That's just what people out there are
saying.
Let's
just talk about tacos some more.
Taco talk with Ben.
Oh, my gosh.
You might love tacos more than anyone I know. Although, Spay will torture himself. Spay does not react well to many things. The sun, spice, but he will eat a spicy taco and just deal with the aftermath, which is...
You don't have to put the really hot stuff on if you don't want to, but he just does. And
he just does.
Suffers through it.
He's a masochist, and, you know, that's fine. Everyone's a little different. Okay. So, we can pull up the team. Do we have the 70-kilogram match?
Send it.
So, Dave Baev, who is... You know, a world champion.
Yeah, what happened to Dave Baev?
Dude, he lost again. He lost to he lost in the fight. He was winning 6-4 with like 30 seconds to left, and he died. So I remind me to ask King G, why do they get so tired? I mean, not
they
tired.
Don't train their cardio.
I mean, I know
they really
but
don't. They really don't. And honestly, you know, it's a tough argument you make, Christian, because some of the guys, it doesn't really affect them. And there's some of the guys just fall off a cliff, like they literally can't walk anymore. It's so bad.
I think
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I thought it was one of the Bronicles on, I think he was on Ryan Warner's podcast. I can't recall. They go to Russia with Coach Medlin, and they're like, they all do something after practice. They're all like jumping rope or whatever. It's like, because they're doing it's like just a basic wrestling practice. In my opinion, and I don't know what a basic Russian wrestling practice is, but a basic wrestling practice plus a little stuff extra at the end, you're going to be in good shape to wrestle 6 minutes.
I mean, so I would think, I think that you have to really up the intensity level of said workout, right? Because a really hard-paced match, man, that is like something you're not going to see all that often unless you actively try to get there. Like jumping rope, or riding aerodyne, doing aerodyne sprints would be mm-hmm. representative of like what a hard wrestling match is. But riding aerodyne or doing a stance in motion, it's not going to be representative of what a really hard wrestling match is going to be like. And but then that, to your point, it's like, oh, some of the guys don't get that tired. You know, maybe they get the good steroids or something. I'm not really sure. And the other ones don't. I don't know what the deal is. But yeah, some of them, they literally like fall off a cliff. Like, it's not like they get a little tired. It's like, oh my gosh, they look like they can't walk anymore.
Yeah, like Sitikov, he has no real issues with fatigue.
No issue. Yeah.
Sitikov would run kilometers to and from practice every day.
Really?
That's what he said.
Okay. Oh, are we ready, Tyler? I'm seeing our man. Okay. Without any further ado, we've been stalling, just waiting for this guy to come on. For the second time on the show, our official Russian correspondent, King G, coming at us live from Moscow, Russia. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
So good. You guys have your team. Yeah. I have so many questions about it. I want to know your thoughts, just your overall thoughts on the wrestle-offs, how that process went. And the team that Russia's going to be sending to Oslo.
Yeah, so we had a pretty big wrestle-off because many guys are pretty much ready to go. And they just let them, giving them an opportunity to prove themselves. So the only Olympian wrestling is Sadulayev as the captain of the team. And the rest of the guys, kind of newer guys in the team.
Wow. So was it the Olympians' choice not to wrestle, say Sitikov and Yugayev? Was it their choice not to wrestle, or did the Russian coach say, no, we want you guys to take this one off?
Oh, actually, there's 86 kilos you made a team also. But yeah, well, Rashidov, 65, he decided to stay off because he's injured a little from his past injury from World Cup. As you remember, so he decided to wait, and Sitikov, he decided to rest as well. So those two, but heavyweight, he lost. It's a wrestle-off match in 86, and actually made the team.
Got it.
So how do you feel, what were the biggest surprises? For me, 70, Zurbayev is obviously good, but I was surprised to see him beat Bayev.
Yeah, well, also, you know, 57, if we go through, like, the lightest to heavyweight. Mm-hmm. So the 57, Mutaliyev is a new kid, very young. He's the only best results, like
Oh no.
Dang it all.
Metal.
We're having a hard time hearing you. You're cutting out a little bit.
Are we good now?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah, all right. So 57 is the very new name for me because there was a guy named Tuskayev, Azamat Tuskayev. He's a junior world champ, been in the team pretty much many years, but he lost. And so this kid, the Medi team, actually, he's the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
7 kilograms.
So their trials were at +3 kilograms. Does that surprise you? Is that common? That seems like it's 6 point whatever pounds. That's a lot. That's a big difference in a weight class. What did you think about that?
How much? So if there's any experience that Americans had the same rest off during like the training camp outside of world team trials.
Oh, so you say, what do you mean by that?
Well, we had a rest off at the training camp. If there's any experience for Team USA that pretty much had the same experience, decided the team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if there's any experience with Team USA, they're doing a rest off during a training camp to who decide who's going to make a team.
Yeah, yeah. But I was surprised that – so, like, we had our world team trials a week and a half ago, and they had to, like, make the scratch weight class. But Russia, they did plus 3 kilograms. So it's like we weighed in – like, Jordan Burroughs weighed 79 kilograms, whereas the 79 rep weighed in at 82. I just thought that was an interesting difference in the two.
Yeah, but, you know – we usually do decide a team through Russian nationals, but today, training camp, friends, I think, because during a competition, you're eventually going to gain a little weight and just be able to compete.
Gotcha. So there's our guy, Ivan. I don't know if you follow this guy, Sikkim_D. On Twitter, but he's got a lot of Russian information, and he said that the Russian coach Tadiev is like upset about his salary and like his compensation. He talks about some foreign coach, they pay him $10,000 a month. Is this do you think, can you give a little more context around this?
Well, the money question, I think, is always there, and Who's happy with their salary? I think MMA, like Ben knows, even MMA stars, like UFC champions, not happy with the salary that they haven't, even getting paid millions to be champion. Well, so money is never enough, I think. But I think he's living a good life, you know, being a head coach. But through salary, I'm saying there's countries that pay more than Russia does because, hey, how many sports do we have? We have a lot in the gold medals and silvers and bronze. We have a lot of those. If we pay everyone pretty much the same salary as the other country pays that has only two sports, it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be it would be impossible to do, I think.
What did the Olympic champions from Russia, what did they make for winning the Olympic gold?
Well, I think it's 56, I think. I read somewhere today. Is it 56,000, I think.
Okay. So if they win.
Not sure. Well, but hey, I've read somewhere that, for example, who was it? Maybe Azerbaijan pay more, but how many gold medals Azerbaijan did win at the Olympics?
Zero.
They only have a chance to win through wrestling or through boxing. But Russia, well, yeah, we're a big country, but, you know, it's impossible to pay such more money than other countries does. For example, like I've read somewhere they're probably paying good money, but they don't win the same amount of Olympic gold medals at the Olympics to compare it to Russia.
That makes sense.
Sajulayev won quite a bit, if I remember correctly, for winning his second gold. It was seven figures, I think.
Whoa.
That's a lot. Come on. We got good sources on that one.
$1 million for Sajulayev? Is there like a, so? The government pays the athletes to win in Russia. It's not exactly that here. It's kind of like a private fund. Are there any like additional private funds that would compensate a wrestler for having Olympic success outside of like the government? Uh-oh. He's frozen.
He gone.
Yeah.
There we go.
No, there's a private funds, they're more common in the Caucasus area. In the Caucasus area where, wrestling is like tradition. Mm-hmm. If you win Olympics, you're like a god there, you know. And especially for Sadulayev, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. Well, who was the last one to win Olympic twice? That was Vlad Batirov back in 2008. since 2008, there was like 12 years that Russia hasn't won Olympic twice. So he got paid $1 million, probably going to get paid another one from someone, probably get another car or something like that.
Yeah.
The good land to build right across, right near the sea or something. So, yeah, that's like
horses.
For those country, yeah, they're getting paid well outside of a federation.
Got it. All right, I have one last question before we let you go. So the 70 kilogram wrestle off, these guys got so tired. Baev at the end, and it's the Russians are the most, you know, magnificent wrestlers to watch, really, in the world. They have the best technique. But what is it about some of the Russian wrestlers? They get so incredibly tired, like tired in a way that I have a hard time understanding how. Look at this picture. Look how tired these guys are at the end of the match. You know, they're really, really. I mean, Baev is a world champion. This is not some nobody. How is it that 6 minutes of wrestling gets these guys in just a place of fatigue that I've never really reached? Just kidding.
Well, I can tell you, as the you know, Russians are, we have a lot of pressure on our own. We put a lot of pressure on our own. Like I've been in the States, and I was coached by Travis Polson at Iowa State, and I was like, "Hey, Travis, what do you think of like we're just kind of afraid to lose that we like bring too much pressure on our own." And he was like, "Americans think differently. Like, if you lose a match, what's going to happen? Like, is your mom not going to love you anymore? Is your friend not going to be friend with you no more, or something like that? Just simple things." And those are always going to be there. But in Russia, we think, hey, if we lose respect. Like, our coach is going to be mad. Our parents are going to be mad that we lost the match. So, and that, you know, Ben, you know, you wrestled a lot. So you know how much pressure you bring on mm-hmm. yourself, and you start losing energy just for nothing. And yeah. That match, there was Mamiashvili was there at this wrestle off for world championships. People just getting crazy on that, and that just takes a lot of energy from them, I think.
Okay, so it's more the pressure than an actual cardiovascular, like, that actually makes more sense than them getting that tired cardiovascularly.
Yeah, because, you know, we train hard, you know, and especially Ben knows, he's been to Russia. We like train more like a play wrestling. We wrestle a lot in those scrambles, in those positions, not to get tired in match, but even in practice, I remember you come to the gym and guys are already scrapping. They just get in the scrambles and just wrestle. So if we train that way, we never get tired, but it's just a pressure mentally that we think, hey, if we lose, our coach is going to be mad. He's going to yell at me. He's not going to be happy with me. Like, when I come home, a lot of fans, I'm putting a doubt within myself. And this eats a lot of energy from you. So it's not about from wrestling. It's just a mental pressure.
Holy cow. Well, that's awesome insight. I have another question, actually, sort of in that vein. How do Russians cut weight differently or similarly to Americans?
Crazy, man. Crazy. I've been training with Americans, and especially back in 2010 when they were here for World Cup, I've been training with them as they're here for like a couple of days before a tournament. They were cutting weight with us, and there was Sean Bunch who was there, Jake Herbert was there also cutting weight. Tian Ware, Trent actually was in the team. So they were cutting weight pretty much on the same a day before the tournament, as much as usual. But I think maybe before the trip, they were sitting on the diet a little bit, get the weight a little down. But most of the time, they just being smart. They eat little, they drink a little. Always be a little hydrated and get little food with the food. not be like completely like Russians. We like crazy. I think even when I was younger, coach was just telling us, don't eat, just cut weight, don't drink, and this crazy stuff. Eat a lot of energy from you and get you a lot of injuries, I think, along the way.
So do you think they still cut it like that? Just like cut out the food and water and just work out and bring your weight down?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, they're
because,
so
you know, they're not smart. You know, I know many guys from Russia, especially from my gym. I have a coach, the junior world champ, and he never loses a point at junior worlds. Guys were saying if he doesn't win the Olympics, it's going to be a surprise. And he didn't because he hurt his stomach by cutting away. So the doctors told him if you cut any other way, you're going to be like sick forever or something like that. So he couldn't even cut away because the coaches are not smart enough to understand the process actually and just put a lot of pressure thinking the wrestler is just robo. Get injured, not get sick or something. They just go. If he got injured, they bring another one. And this kid is injured already along the life. So I know many experience from other guys not like being able to cut weight no more.
So how has the – obviously in like 2017, you could cut pretty recklessly because weigh-ins were day before. But now with – day of weigh-ins, 2 hours before, both days, has that changed it at all? Because, I mean, Russia's still been super, super good at the World Championships. And you think if they're having crazy weight cuts, it would really adversely affect their performance. It doesn't seem like that's been the case. So has there been any modifications with the new weigh-in structure?
Well, they just being a little smarter now, being able to travel around the world and see other people getting weight cut and probably asking questions, talking to doctors. Bring doctors in a team or so they get the weight a little more down a day before a tournament. So the next day they don't feel a lot of pressure and a hardless time to cut weight. So yeah, they getting adapted to it and getting smart. So they don't cut weight as crazy as they used to be. That's why they're getting adapted and compete more and better now.
Do you see anyone in the Russian lineup changing weights in the near future? Is there anyone on the team that cuts a lot of weight? Obviously, Abuskadze Magomedov is superstar wrestler who will probably be the favorite to win Worlds at 61. Do you see him staying at 61 kilograms long term, or do you think he could go up to 65?
Who was that?
Abuskadze Magomedov, the 61.
Oh, Abuskadze Magomedov?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as I read somewhere from interviews, his only goal to win world championships, and then he can move on because he won actually junior worlds, junior Europeans, U23 worlds, I think U23 nationals. The only thing he misses is senior world championships, and then before 24 Olympics, he's deciding to go to 65. He's a tall, lean guy. He has a spot, would say, in the body to fit in at 65, and he has 3 years to go. I mean, actually, almost 2 years to go to get adapted to the new weight class and then be able to compete at 24 Olympics. But I'm thinking he's the guy to win a world championship this year. He's so good, and he got adapted to the weight class. He won Yurigin, he won junior worlds, U23 worlds. He's the guy, I think, number one guy in to win the world championships.
Yeah, he's a beast. So a week and a half ago, we had our trials. Is the Russian wrestling community, how aware are they of those trials? And what are their overall thoughts on the team we're going to be sending to Oslo?
Hey, my personal opinion, USA has the best team, well, that I've seen. Well, actually, it was a dream team. Back in 1995, I think there was a great team from Team USA, but this team, I've spoke with a bunch of people, and they're saying this is the best team they ever seen from Team USA sending to World Championships. They're thinking Team USA has to they win more gold medals than any other team, and they're thinking the Team USA, we have to win team medals competition. So,
well, that's awesome to hear. I would tend to agree, though I'm very biased. Thinking about how is that? All right, so if America wins Worlds, what's the response within the Russian wrestling community? What is the fallout for someone like Tadiev? Obviously, this is the pressure is slightly reduced after such a successful Olympics, but I don't know. Does Russia actually feel that way?
Well, this World Championships, we're going to stand pretty much the young guys. If you look through the team, there's only a few actually competed at the Worlds were like world-class level tournament. The heavyweight guy, well, you never seen him compete actually place somewhere internationally. His brother, he was at Worlds, I think he got fifth 1 year, two years ago, I think. But that's his younger brother. He never placed any international tournament. Sadulayev, well, this is a guy everybody knows. 92 kilograms, Kurbanov. He's a this year European champion, very tough guy. I think he placed third at Worlds 2 years ago, I think. He's the guy probably to win also. Well, I want to see him and Cox in the finals, 92 kilograms. That's the match I want to see.
Yeah.
That's pretty much everybody else want to see, because they too actually the best, because he's the Russian champ, European champ, so he's the best on this side of the planet. And Cox, he's a defending world champ, two-time, and that's the match everybody want to see.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Well, exciting stuff. I'm not sure if we'll have you on again before or the World Championships. Maybe we'll have you on during. That could be pretty cool. I assume you're gonna be watching. You're not gonna be able to go, are you?
No.
Too bad. Okay. Well,
one more question.
Oh yeah, go.
Why do you think Sadulayev wrestled versus the other Olympians? I think Nafanov probably is like, you know, I have to prove myself or whatever. He's a little younger, but Sadulayev is proven. Why is he wrestling in these Worlds?
Because he wasn't in his best shape at the Olympics, because his knee was injured during the training camp, so he wasn't training much. So he rested the knee pad, so his knee was injured, so he wasn't in the best shape and still won. So he wants to prove that his best ability is yet to come, and at World Championships, that's why he's going to wrestle. Also, he's like how many four five time world champ right now?
More than that.
Well, he's two got Olympics two, and five worlds. Olympic, so two Olympic and 14, 15, 7, or 18, 19. 18. So he's four-time world champ.
Four right? And two. There's a five world championship we have. Is it Hajimura Gatsalov, Vasarsay Tiev. Well, who else there was? Well, Medved probably, the other guys. But he's feeling that he has ability to go. He doesn't want to miss a year, not to win another world championships, because to keep to those grades by gold medals count, you know. Right. Like if he misses today, we have a great guy behind them, Zhibrailov, that won World Cup this year in December. He's the great number two guy after him. But he doesn't want to miss a year, not to prove himself that he's the guy. As a captain on the team also, you know, they're saying in a young team, like I said. But he wants to go. And also, if you go down to weight classes, there's a 79 kilo. That Ossetian, well, I think he might place, but he's not a I was surprised that he made the team, mm-hmm. because there were two guys from Dagestan that better than him. I was surprised. Probably might place, but I'm not sure about him. Also, Nifonov. Well, I'm just going through, like, weight classes. 86. Well, he might place again at the Olympics. But I think he's not beating Taylor. He's not beating Yazdani. He's not the guy to beat them. Also, 74. I think he might get to the finals. He's so good. He beat Kurbanaliyev. He's very good. He was in the finals with Jamala at Nationals. He's very good. He's the guy to be on the team. He's proven himself, so he probably be in the finals. 70 kilograms. Well, this is like a black horse, I'd say, because he beat a bunch of tough guys. But like before the tournaments, he wasn't very consistent to win because he always around the team. He was like third, I think, at the Nationals, winning and placing at some international tournaments. But, well, I think he might place also. He's a new guy. He's probably not going to win, but he's going to place. The 65 kilo, that guy might get to the finals because he beat Ahmed Chekaev. There's a world bronze that was in the team for like 10 years, number one, number two, switching places, finals at the Nationals. And he's a fresh, he's young. He won Europeans this year. 65 will get to the finals. 61, like I said before, he's probably the guy to win gold. And the 57, well, depends on who's other countries will send. The guy is young. Yeah, he wrestled good at the wrestle off, made the team, but I'm not sure. I think he's just a young kid, and I'm well, if he plays, it's going to be good, but I don't think he's going to place. He's just a young guy yet.
Yeah, he has a win over Gilman from, I think, World Club Cup, something. He beat him somewhere. So he's got some legit wins for a young guy, but then again, the Gilman we saw at the Olympics was supremely good. Ben or JD, any other questions for King G before we let him go?
Do you think...
No, thanks for coming on. That was awesome.
Do you think Cal Snyder can ever be Tsuj Live again?
Well, that was the question I was asked the last sit-down that we had. Well, he does. Everyone that steps on the mat has an opportunity to win because everyone is a human being. Everyone has weaknesses. And he has a chance to win also. Yeah.
What are Tsuj Live's weaknesses?
He has to find one to win again.
Yeah. He's gotta create one.
He's gotta be more injured than he was at the Olympics.
Yeah. I think we can beat him healthy. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just maybe trained by Kale, they will create a good game plan to win because we're all seeing Tsuj Live got super tired at the end of the match, but Snyder kept pushing, kept running at him. So if he just being smarter, I think, doing a couple good shots and staying in good defense, keep a good position, he probably can win. So I think being coached by Kale, he has the best chance to do it.
I know you know Kale because you trained at Iowa State, but are other Russians aware of Kale in this, the lore he has in the United States wrestling, because he's just a, you know, one-time Olympic champion. Or is he just kind of like another figure, another Olympic champion for Russians, or are they aware that he's this great coach now too?
Yeah, they're all thinking that he's just Olympic champ. He's just Olympic champ, but I know because I was coached by Travis and Trent Paulson. And they were coached by Kale. And I just I like to analyze. He just – how many – they won 6 out of 7 years with Penn State, right, at the NCAAs.
Yeah.
Oh, 8 out of 9. Wow. Yeah. Even people think, hey, he bringing the best guys in the team, all the number one from the country. But even there, he still has to create the spot for them, and he has to create the – community, I'll say, to make this such a great team. So he built a good team around him, Kyler Sanderson and the other guy named Cunningham. They're a good addition to the team. So Kale is at like a head, and those guys are just allowing those to get to go. So I'm thinking Kale is a good and great coach, but not many Russians actually know about it.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. One other question about an Iowa State legend. Do you know Sion Williams?
Hey, I got to go. I'm getting a play.
Oh, yeah, Ben's got to go.
Talking to you. I'm out of here. You guys, tell them about Sion. You know, I bet you know about Sion.
Yeah, yeah. King G, do you know Sion?
Yeah.
Okay. You're just gonna leave it at that.
What's going on with him?
Nothing. You know he works here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe there's beef here. All right. I'll move on. I'll move off the Sion topic. Are there coaches in Russia that are maybe comparable to like Kale? So like Tadiev is the national team coach, but he's not involved in the day to day. I'm guessing with some of these guys, who's like the best? Who's the coach who has developed the most Olympic and world level athletes?
Forget the name, but this Abdusalam Gadisov coach.
Who coached him? Is that the older guy?
Yeah, Ali Murza, Ali Murzaev.
Okay, he's a good coach.
He. So the names I give you that he coached: Sagit Murzaliyev, 2000 Olympic champ. Yeah. Shervani Muradov, 2008 Olympic champ. Bakhtiar Ahmedov, the heavyweight 2008 champ. Abdusalam Gadisov, world champ. Who else was there? There was someone else I'm missing. Well, actually, yeah, three Olympic champs and the other world champ. Dang. And a bunch of other guys, a bunch of Gajina Diev, you know the name, the 79 junior world champ. He's also coached by him. And the number two guy, the behind Sadulayev, Jabrailov, his name, he's also coached by him.
Dang. And he's out of Dagestan?
Yeah. And the Jabrailov is also 97 kilograms. So the coach is like, known the 97 kilogram coaches of the year, I would say. You know, he always bring 97 kilo greats.
Yeah. Was he Godoyev's coach too?
No. Godoyev was coached by the other coach. Not known. His coach, not known, but he just the only single great out of the coach.
Got it. Got it. Well, I feel like there's always more we can talk about, but we'll pause it for now, King G. Anything else you want to add before we let you go? Worlds are starting very soon.
Well, just excited to watch. It's in a year. I mean, in a week, right, or something?
A week. It starts October 2nd is the first day, September 22nd. So a little more than a week, like 10-ish days. But not long at all. Saturday.
So just wishing everyone stay healthy, show the best their ability to get the fans excited, make them not to just go watch the boring matches, but just to stay excited. And wish the best, stay healthy, just pretty much stay positive, do the right things.
Awesome. I really like your shirt too. It's really sick. Very nice.
Yeah, man, thanks.
You're very well dressed. You had a night. You were strappy looking the last time. So thanks for bringing the style. We don't have a lot of style. JD's has a style. I don't know how I would describe it, but it's a style all his own. But King G.
But one day I'll be back to US and we sit down in the same room. I'll get you guys a good dress, or you might come down to Russia. We sit down here on my side.
Let's do it. We'll get you some good food. You can get us some style, and it'll be a good time.
Exactly.
I look forward to that day. King G, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk with you soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Later. Another thing I want to add on it, because I told the UVA guys from the University of Virginia, giving them a shout out, wishing them the best for upcoming season. Coach Steve Garland, Paulson Brothers, and the rest of the guys in the team.
Shout out, UVA, Wahoo Wah. Thanks so much, King G, the one and only, our official Russian correspondent coming at us from Moscow. I was a little worried there with the connection, but Tyler went in. Our producer Tyler went in, intercepted a couple satellites, and was able to make the necessary fixes to his internet. So that was great. Dude, I'm sorry I asked about Sion. I don't know what that was about. That was sort of weird. It's like, oh boy.
I feel like most people that know Sion have a little bit of beef with Sion.
I don't. It seems like it's just us. Until now, I just assumed everyone else loved the guy, and then he just berates us, and we just deal with it. And
him and Spey is my favorite beef.
Oh, that is a rivalry. It's better than like Dake Burrows. It's like two titans. Any interesting takeaways from King G? I knew what I wanted.
Sajlaev wants to be basically the best of all time.
Which, well, he's certainly on track.
Not that I didn't think that before, but it's just like this solidifies that he has that total number in mind and is chasing it down, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, skipping a year, it's a... I think he probably sees the opportunity to get another one. Okay. Why don't we go to a couple questions before we go? But I forgot to tell you guys, Ben had to leave early. I was so surprised he had to leave. He's coming here, so that's going to be awesome. Did you copy questions in? Because I forgot to. So
yeah,
shout out to you. Thoughts on a belt system for – we should save this one for Ben. Ben's going to want to talk about a belt system in wrestling. So we'll pause on that one, Kurt Arnoldson
system.
Yeah, I don't either, actually, but I don't want to step on that.
There should be no degree of measurement for toughness.
Yeah. CP, why have you not allowed Chael and Ben to be on the same show at the same time? Are you afraid of having too much testosterone on air? No real reason. It's just like, you know, the human brain can only process so many voices at once, and I just figure, you know, if we went and had Chael and Ben on, it's just like, what's the point of us? Then I basically just fired myself. I mean, I'm not ready to do that.
A lot of people got on me for not pushing back on Chael the last time he was on.
Wait, you want to correct the man?
I'm not going to. There's no arguing with that man. There's no. You don't bring reason to that, to Chael. He is like a wind-up toy.
Yeah.
But with a 10-foot-long string, and it's just you ask one question, pull it, and it's just best to just let him go.
He argued with me for 45 minutes that Kyle Dake and Rhys Humphrey wrestled in the NCAA finals, a verifiable fact that is indisputable that they wrestled in the NCAA semis. He, to this day, so we learned our lesson. I learned my lesson there. It's like it doesn't even matter what you say, so just let him go and just be entertained.
It's a fun ride. I enjoy riding it.
It's great.
It's great. I'm not going to intervene and argue too much with that.
The
man.
Worst part is we'll never know about the Dake Humphrey thing.
That is the worst part.
Not knowing.
Not knowing history.
It's the not knowing that makes it tough. Okay. This is a question for Ben. Okay. This is a... All right. Yep. They don't want us to talk about COVID anymore. Okay. Well, yeah, I don't like talking about it, but when it involves, you know, prestigious universities firing really, really good coaches, I feel like we have to talk about it. And then, which will beg the question, well, why are they getting fired? Which means we'll have to talk about COVID.
It's going to continue to be probably a main storyline for the next year or two.
When an All-American has to sit out because of contact tracing, you know, that's just a thing that should be known. So with that, I think we can last one. From Pokes at Loaf23. How did the great Oklahoma State University Cowboys handle 25-33-41 with Carter's news? I actually think it's sort of cut and dry if they want to wrestle Carter this year. Mastro 25, Dayton 33, Carter Young 41.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense. They have Carter has a redshirt to play with, as does Mastro, right? Mastro was a true freshman last year. So they could redshirt those guys, two of them. Dayton, obviously not. But
they actually have both Mastros now this year.
They have all the Mastros, but
strode up.
yes, they're strode up for sure. I don't think Mastro the larger is a 41 though.
Probably. No,
he's a little. He's not
57.
That big. Maybe.
Remember, he weighed in with a bucket of chicken.
He weighed in. That's right.
Number one of KFC.
But that was for like 152, wasn't it, or was it 60?
It was 60.
60 against Patty.
So yeah, and he was still underweight.
Yeah, he's like a small 52. He's really probably a 45 last year. So I don't know. So maybe he's a 41 in John Smith's eyes. I don't know. But I think their best lineup would definitely be Mastro, the smaller, Fix, and then Carter Young at 41. That'd be an exciting lineup, too, to see those. We should talk about the full Oklahoma State lineup maybe next tomorrow's show when Ben's here. because with Carter Young, it gets interesting. I'm curious, you know, there's guys with really strong freestyle results, and it doesn't always correlate to folk style. But what Carter did is, like, it's just an undeniable thing that, like, man, he's gonna be really good. Folk style, freestyle, it doesn't matter. He's gonna be a difference maker. It's just like, absolutely, to what degree is he a difference maker? Weight 141, which is gonna be pretty tough next year. So we can maybe talk about that a little bit tomorrow. So shorter show today. Ben's out. He'll be in person tomorrow. I have to place a taco order for tomorrow, so we have those for him and Tyler. Tyler's requested tacos in exchange for him fixing the satellites, which I think is a fair compromise. We got Russian satellites working, so to get King G on. So for Tyler, for Ben Askren, for JD Rader, and myself, Christian Piles, thank you so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow, Thursday, last show of the week. Maybe my last show until I go to Oslo, because I go to Oslo on Tuesday. Maybe I'll be here next Tuesday. We'll never know. That's the thing. We'll never find out. Thanks so much. Have a great Wednesday. Goodbye.